Well, tonight we're going to have a little conversation, and the title of the message this evening is God's Will for Us to Be Healed. We're going to talk about healing a little bit, amen? I think that's a very important topic, and we've been talking about it here a little bit. Different messages, different preachers have been sharing on this, and I just really felt led to talk about this a little bit more. I mean, this is the season for sneezing sometimes. And so it's good to have a good dose of the Holy Ghost. Amen? You need to take your vitamin G, vitamin God. You know, we need to get pumped up on the Word and know what the Word says about healing and what belongs to us and what not. Amen? You know, you can have ailments in your body and still believe in healing. Amen? You cannot feel well and still claim your healing. Amen? And so we're going to talk a little bit about this. You know, and sometimes people get... You know, they ask the question, does God want me healed? Or why am I sick? Is God testing me? Is God putting me through this for a reason? Why is he, you know, what type of lesson is he trying to teach me here? Well, let me tell you something. God's not trying to teach you nothing because he's not the one that made you sick. Amen? Yes, that's not it. And we're going to talk about this a little bit. Turn over in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. And we're going to look in the New King James Version. We're going to spice it up a little bit. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 and 5, and it says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed his stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Now, that tells us something right there, that God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to do a very specific job for me and you, and that's called salvation. But then also in that was just not to save our souls, but was to save us and make us whole. Are you listening to me? You know, we were never designed to be a sick people. We were never designed that way. But we live on an earth with a curse, and you go all the way back to the garden, and we see when Adam and Eve fell into disobedience, they allowed sin nature to come in. And because the sin nature came in, and they legally gave the enemy authority here on this earth, well then, we have all this corruption and bad stuff that's going on, and a part of which that came with the fall was sickness and disease. And that's a part of that. That was not designed by God for us to be sick, but it came in with the fall. Are you following me? So, we need to understand that. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, 24 for a moment. We're going to use this scripture as well. New King James. It says, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed." Well, you're not sick today because God hates you. You're not sick today, or if you've got ailments in your body, because God's testing you. I mean, you can even ask the question, I've even heard the question on many occasions, actually. Why do Christians suffer? Why do people get sick? Why does that happen? Have you ever heard those questions? If anyone ever asked you, or even you might have even asked yourself that question, or asked, you know, why do people get sick? Well, like we already explained a little bit. But I want you to understand something. That, you know, when it comes to pertaining why people are sick and dying, some people believe that God put illness on them to test for lesson, or to test them or teach them a lesson, and God only wants certain people to be healed. That's not the fact. Some churches have very different teachings on healing, and that it's not doesn't necessarily, or that their teachings doesn't necessarily line up with the Word of God, and that's a very slippery slope that you can be standing on when you're teaching outside the Word of God. You see, the Bible clearly states that when Jesus died on the cross, he died for our sin, sickness, and disease, and that he took it all. In James chapter 1, verse 17, it tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow turning. God only has good things for me and you. He only has good things for us. I'm going to give you lots of scripture because we got to look at this. In Psalms 91, look at that. Turn over to Psalms 91. And look at verse 16 for a moment here. It says, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. You see, a long life I will satisfy. A satisfied life is not one of misery, pain, and heartache. If you want a long, satisfied life, that's a life full of prosperity, blessing, and wholeness. Amen. Boy, it's real quiet in this church tonight. I mean, look at it this way. God wants you well. Because if you're not well, you can't do what you're supposed to be doing. We've all been called. We've all got a job that we're supposed to be doing. We all have something that we need to be doing. We've been designed by God for a specific task. He has a plan and a purpose. And Scripture tells us that we have a specific plan and a purpose for our life that we're supposed to be fulfilling. But if we're down and out, how can we do what God wants us to do? So then I ask the question, why would God make you sick if he has a good plan and purpose for you? It doesn't work, does it? So therefore, it is God's plan for me to be well. Amen? But now it's up to me to do something about it. You see, oh, yes, Lord. There's a ringing in my ears. Oh, the Lord will answer that. Pray about it. No. You see, the Lord's got that plan and that purpose. And we need to make sure that we're doing whatever we can to guard ourselves so we can fulfill that plan and that purpose. And that means we got to get an understanding of what legally belongs to us. And so we've talked about this before in the past. We've talked about our righteousness and all those things. But a big part of our Christian walk is walking in healing and walking in divine health. Come on now. Now, I mean, we call this time of year flu season or cold season or whatever. I mean, and I'm sure at this point in time, some of you or some of us in here, we've had the sniffles or we've had a cold or a cough or something. And that's not saying anything bad about you. I mean, you have ailments. But the thing is that they don't belong to us. And we need to get sanctioned in our hearts and in our minds that this does not belong on me or belong on you. Amen? So therefore, there's a few things that we're going to discuss tonight, a few different points that we're going to look at here real soon. And I want to show you from the Scriptures a story on what this person did and the steps that they took to initiate their healing. Okay? So like I said, God does not want me and you to be miserable in life. Rather, he wants you and me blessed. I want a satisfied life. I don't know about you, but that's what I'm striving for, a satisfied life. When it's time for me to leave this world, whether when Jesus comes back or of old age, I want to leave this planet knowing that, you know what, I served God well and he served me well. Amen? And I know a great inspiration for me around this place is Miss Grace. I mean, she talks about it all the time. You know, going to live long, live strong. You know, that's her motto. I'm sure of it. We need to get bracelets or shirts made up, you know, and have a little picture of Miss Grace on there. Live long, live strong, right? I mean, because this lady here, she has so much energy and she's into everything and she's doing stuff and she's just an inspiration to what the goodness of God and having a satisfied life. Amen. I like bragging about you, Miss Grace. I just think you're the sweetest. Amen. Don't you appreciate Miss Grace? Isn't she great? Amen. Amen. Let's look at 1 Peter 2:24 again. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Now in this passage, Peter is looking back at what Jesus did, the perfect plan that God had designed for us. Peter didn't say here that you might be healed or that only some deserving people would be healed, but rather he stated that by his stripes we are healed. Now in the King James Version, it says ye were healed. In the Moffat's translation of the Bible, it says you have been healed. In the NIV, it says by his wounds you have been healed. And then in the Message, it states, his wounds become your healing. You see, all of those talk about in the past tense, because your sin, sickness, disease is already gone. Once you've accepted Jesus, Jesus already covered that with the blood that was shed on Calvary. You're already healed. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm already made well. Healing is already mine. Well, that was almost convincing. All right, let's do this. God does not only want you well, but you can also initiate your healing. Turn over in your Bibles, and we're going to look at this, and this is probably my most favorite healing instance in the Bible. It's found in Mark chapter 5, verse 25, 34. I'm going to read from the Amplified, actually. And this is about the woman. Well, we always say the woman with the issue of blood, but this is the woman who had an issue of blood. She was healed from it, right? So let's just look at this for a little bit. I'm going to read from the Amplified. In verse 25, it says, "And there was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years, and who had endured much suffering under the hands of many physicians, and had spent all she had, and was no better, but instead grew worse. She had heard the reports concerning Jesus, and she came up behind him in the throng and touched his garment. For she kept saying, For she kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health." You see here, this woman, she done something. She heard about Jesus. But not only did she hear about it, she got it settled in her heart that if she believed and acted, something was going to happen for her. "For she kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. And immediately her flow of blood was dried up at the source, and suddenly," everyone say suddenly, "she felt in her body that she was healed of her distressing ailment. And Jesus, recognizing in himself that the power proceeded from him, had gone forth, turned around immediately in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And the disciples kept saying to him, 'You see the crowd pressing hard around you from all sides, and you ask, who touched me?' Still, he kept looking around to see her who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had been done for her, though alarmed and frightened and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith, your trust, and your confidence in me sprang from faith in God, has restored you to health. Go in into peace and be continually healed and freed from your distressing bodily disease.'" Amen. You see, this woman here, she pressed in. Now, even the fact that she was out among the crowd at that time could get her in some serious trouble. She was considered unclean. And so she was out in public. This woman had 12 years of misery. She was hurting, and doctors, and I mean, let's be honest, like back then, the physicians, they weren't what we have today. I mean, Lord only knows what they used to test people with and what they did and what type of barbaric type of things they did. It's not like today you go get a checkup and they got all these nice machines and, you know, they can look through you and you not even move and you not even open you up. You know, they got all these x-rays and MRIs and all these things. But this woman, she spent all she had, and she was poked and prodded for 12 years. And instead of making her better, they made things worse. But I'm glad that she got to the point, she goes, "You know what? I hear about this Jesus, and people are talking about him. I'm hearing stories about Jesus. You know, if I can get to him, if I could just touch him." But not only did she just say, "If I could just touch him," she actually put action to her faith. You see, she believed that Jesus could do something, but she knew that she had to get out and do it. She had to step out in faith. She got out amongst the crowd, out in the danger zone, pushed her way through the crowd, and went up and touched the hem of his garment. And you know what ended up happening? She was made whole. Hallelujah. I love that story so much, and I love that instance. And there's so many more good ones in there. Another one of my favorite ones is when Jesus was in the house and the boys ripped open the ceiling and lowered the sick guy down in front of Jesus. I mean, first of all, that's pretty exciting to find some guys that would rip the shingles off a house for you to get you inside. You know, that's a good story too. But I really like this one about this story about the woman with the issue of blood, Because she was gone through a lot. She was going through a lot. But she pressed through and she pressed in and she did what she had to do to initiate her healing. You see, sometimes we can get complacent and we can almost be, nah, I'm just going to put up with this flu. I'm going to put up with this pain. But why would you want to do that? When we have the great healer who's already made a way for me and you to walk in health and wholeness, amen? But, you know, sometimes it's we tend to do that. So what do we do then to initiate our healing? Well, in the book of Mark, chapter 9, verse 23, New King James, it says, Jesus said to them, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. You got to believe that your body is well. You got to believe that Jesus is the healer. You have to believe that what Jesus did on that cross over 2,000 years ago, that he actually died on that cross, just not for your sin, but for those diseases and the sickness and for you to be made well also. Your sickness and disease, it doesn't belong to you. It was already brought to hell, and that's where it was dropped off. Now, the devil's going to try and mess with you and say, oh, you ain't going to survive this. Oh, no, you're sick. You can't do that. Oh, Jesus, he's not going to heal you this time, right? The old devil is going to try and mess things up and going to try and confuse you and tell you all these lies all the time. But let me tell you something, my friend. It's all lies. Because the Word of God tells me that I have already been healed. That healing belongs to me now. That it belongs to me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Come on, I'm a king's kid. So therefore, all that good stuff belongs to me. I got to get a sanction in my heart, though, that it's mine. I have to get it rooted on the inside of me that it belongs to me. In order for you to become born again, you have to believe and accept Jesus to be your Lord and personal Savior. You know? But it's just as important to accept him as your healer as well, too. He's more than just your Savior. Amen? You have to believe in order to get the fullness that of everything that God has for you. Here's something else. If you notice here, this woman, in verse 28, it says, for she kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. Well, the thing is that you have to continually speak. I am well, I am healed, I am healthy, I am whole. And then you've got to keep confessing those healing scriptures. And the Bible is right full of them, of healing scriptures. Amen? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 in the New King James Version. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. You have to confess and we have to speak the word. When a believer starts speaking the word, the devil hates that. Because he knows that the Word of God, come on, that's sharper than any two-edged sword. That's what we're told, right? And so that's going to tear the devil up because the Word, the Bible, what the Scriptures say, that's directly from God. And so if the Word of God says you're healed, then you're? It belongs to you. It's yours. If it says you're blessed, then you're? Come on now. You should be shouting and hollering right now, ready to run all the way home. Amen, because that's yours. It belongs to you. Amen? All right, what else we got to do here? We got to believe. We got to speak. We also got to understand that when you're in doubt, you're going to go without. And it's so easy sometimes to doubt. We have to understand that a major reason that people don't get their healing, or the manifestation of the healing, is because of doubt. It's so easy to get on the side of our feelings. Sometimes we can allow emotions and feelings run our lives. You ever had a bad day? Anyone here? Only two people had a bad day. Man, we've reached it. Michael, yeah. I mean, come on. You've had a bad day. But the thing is do you want to stay having a bad day or do you want to change things around? And sometimes it's as simple of changing a bad day to a good day is by changing your own attitude. And we can be run by emotions sometimes. You want to see emotions? Come watch a hockey game at my house. You want to see emotions? I guarantee it. I mean, you'll have everything. You'll be happy. You'll be sad. You'll experience colorful anger that you've never seen before at referees and bad calls and dirty plays. I mean, it's just a colorful thing. And that's just from Kendra. I mean, Sorry, hon. If you've never experienced a hockey game with my wife, like, the hockey game is entertaining, don't get me wrong. But watching my wife at a hockey game, it's a whole different experience. Yeah, I'm telling you, that's manifestation of emotion on a whole different level right there. I mean, the devil wouldn't even come around. I guarantee it. But I mean, you can experience your emotions, right? And I mean, it's true. We're very involved in the hockey community and stuff. And, you know, we get really invested into stuff. And you can get really passionate. That's the word we're looking for, right? Anyone know what I'm talking about? You can get really passionate about something. But the thing is that you can get passionate and you can feel bad about something. And that could come, you can feel very passionate about that, how upsetting something was. Or you can get very much so, you know, passionate on how good something is as well, too. And so the thing is that we have to allow ourselves, even though things might not be going the way that you expect them to go or you want them to go, we still have to, well, you know, we call it the silver lining, I guess. That's, the world tries to figure that out that way. But we have to see, you know, the good, even though you might not be able to see it, but you still got something to praise God about. Because first of all, we serve a good Father anyhow. And we don't always understand why a situation is happening. We don't always understand, you know, the reason behind certain things. But one thing I do know is that God is faithful. And that the Bible says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So when your hockey team is down by a lot and you're just not playing great, God still loves you. Even though you might not love your hockey team that much right at that moment, God still loves you. Amen? And it's the same thing that when you're having that bad day, and when you're not feeling so great, or there's sickness, or there's ailments in your body, and you just don't feel, oh, I don't feel really feel like praising God right now, that's when you do it anyhow. You know, maybe you got to listen to a message, or listen to a few scriptures or something. You know, the world is a world of convenience now, so you can turn on your phone, you don't have to get out of bed, and you can turn on thousands of preachers, you know, and listen to so much stuff, or you can listen to the Bible, you know, someone reading it to you in a very nice voice if you wanted to, you know? But you can listen to those things and get it on the inside of you. Amen? And that's important for us to do and to understand, is that we got to have things put on the inside. If we start doubting, if we start feeling bad, if we start second-guessing, God don't want me healed, God, well, you're not going to get what belongs to you. A lot of people, and just not healing too. I mean, that applies to pretty well everything in life. If you're going to be, you know, down and out about it, you know, you're not giving God an opportunity to bless you. But when you've got your heart in the place of ready to receive, you know, and you've got your mind in tune and your heart's in tune and you're just opening up to God, come on now. That's when blessings are going to be able to flow. But if the devil can put hindrances in your way and cause you to doubt and cause things to come in your mind and thinking and guilt and all these emotions, because that's what they are, that's feelings. He's going to get you off your A game. You're going to shut down. You're not going to be able to receive what God has for you. So when you doubt, you're going to go without. I don't want to doubt. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes I do it. But I got to give myself a slap and be like, nope, that goes against what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that I'm supposed to stand on the Word, trust in Him, have faith in God, it says in Mark chapter 11. Is what I'm supposed to be doing. Have faith in God. Everyone say, have faith in God. And here's another one for us. You have to act. Well, this woman, she done something. She put action. Not only did she believe, did she think it, she said it, but then she done something about it as well, too. She got out and she pushed through the crowd. In John chapter 5, verse 1 to 5, we see what happens when you act on the word. Here's another instance here. It says, after there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. And there lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water, and then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. Whew, that's a long time. And when Jesus saw him lying there, he knew he had already had been in that condition for a long time. He said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" And the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But when I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise up, take your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made well. He took up his bed and he walked. You see, Jesus instructed him to do something. Jesus told this guy to act. Rise up, take your bed, and walk. Jesus spoke the word, and the man acted on the word. Are you listening? God wants us to listen to his word and to act on his word. And as many things in Scripture, faith is an action thing. Faith is an action word. Love is an action word. Healing is an action word. We have to put action to it. Are you listening? It takes energy and strength in you by doing something to love. And for you to believe for a healing, it takes action for you as well. Now you might be sick in bed, or someone might be sick in bed, and all they can do is shake their little baby pinky finger. Right? But if they're putting action to their faith and they're believing, "God, I believe I can move my full body." And they just start moving one little thing or blinking their eyelids or whatever it is. That's faith in action right there. I've heard stories of people, and I know firsthand people, who've had tremendous, horrible accidents and got themselves severely beaten up. You know? And they've put faith into action. And they could barely move. But they kept believing in the Word of God and keep acting on the Word of God. When I mean acting, they did what they could to act on the Word of God. They would force themselves to do things, and they would believe that they could do it, and they would act on it, and they would, and you know, today I know one person in particular I'm thinking about was completely healed because they acted on the Word of God. They didn't give up. They believed and they knew that healing belongs to them. Amen? I've been in services where I've seen one gentleman, his pinky toes, were actually sticking out the side of his foot. And they were deformed. And it would cause great discomfort when he had put on socks and put on his shoes. And the pastor was preaching, and I was sat right behind this gentleman. And the pastor was preaching, all of a sudden he stopped and he said, there's someone here and you have foot problems. And there's something that's caused you much discomfort when you wear shoes and when you walk. And the gentleman in front of me put up his hand. He goes, "That's me, Pastor, that's me." And he went over and explained to the pastor, and I'm sat right there. So I had like a bird's eye view. I was watching right here, front row seats, watching this. And he took off his shoes, and you could actually see his pinky toe sticking out through the side of his socks. I was like, "That's disgusting, man. Like, that's not right. You better get that checked, right? I mean, come on now. Like, what's going on?" Well, good thing he was in church, because the pastor went over and laid hands on him. And I'm watching this. Pastor's like, "But everyone's with, you know, just start believing." I'm watching this. I'm like, "Yeah, right. Like, this is going to happen, right?" I'm like, just watching, right? Not even blinking. And all of a sudden, this guy, you could tell he's just getting so filled and so blessed. And all of a sudden, his toe starts wiggling. He starts wiggling his toes. You can see the movement inside of his socks. And his pinky toes line up straight as a whip, right in front of our eyes. And I'm like, "What was that?" I was like, "That's crazy. Yeah, I mean, this was so cool, you know. Let's do it again. Who else got weird feet? Like, come on, who's next? Come on. Is there someone else, Pastor, that's got messed up feet? Like, what's going on here, you know?" And I was like, "Man, that's so cool." But you see, the pastor called out, said, "Hey, someone's got some bad feet up in here." And that man was like, "That's me." See, he put action to it, right? Even before You know, he got hands laid on it. That man was believing. Okay, I'm putting action to my faith right now. That was me. I believe I'm going to be healed right now. And I'm going to tell you what, man, that was crazy for me to watch those toes straighten out. You know? That's nuts. Feet are disgusting, man. Holy. But I mean, it was so cool to watch. Another instance that I've witnessed, there was a woman and she had the curvature of the spine. I forget the name on it. It's, that one. And she was severe, like really bad. Like she was all hunched over and she was in a hard, very hard shape. And this pastor was praying for people and he was like, hey, is there anyone in this place? He goes, oh, actually there is. He goes, there's someone in this place right now. You have back issues. And this woman put up her hand. That's me. He said, all right, come walk forward. She could hardly move. She was so crippled. But she hobbled up to the front. And the crazy thing was that when she stepped out, you could actually watch as she was walking. She started walking faster and faster and straighter as she was walking up. And by the time she got to the front, the pastor laid hands on her instantly. And when she went down, she was down for a couple minutes being all blessed and all those things. And when she came up, I'm serious, she was inches taller. Her back was straightened completely out because she put action to her faith. Are you listening to me? God is a big God, and he has things that he wants us to do, but we can't do it if we're not well. He wants you healed. So that means we have to do something. We have to make sure we're acting on the word. When God says it, that settles it, right? So if he says you're healthy and healed and made whole, well, then you're healed, healthy, and whole. That's who you are. Amen? At our youth conference, we seen lumps and bumps fall off a few years ago. I mean, that was crazy. A guy had a big thing on his wrist, and I seen it. And actually, Kelsey prayed for him. You remember that, Kelsey? You were so young then, and now you're all married and old and stuff. But, I mean, this guy, he had lumps on him. And Kelsey went and laid hands and believed and added her faith to his. And they disappeared in your hand, didn't they? Remember that same night, a guy's foot grew out? His leg was shorter than the other. By like, it was like an inch and a half, 2 inches. And once again, we've seen that manifest right in front of us. We actually literally seen the leg grow out, straighten. That's my God, ladies and gentlemen. In this church, quite recently, we've had testimonies of people getting healed. They're feeling the anointing of God flowing through their body. And they feel things manifesting in them because that's God. God wants you well, my friend. He wants you healed. He wants you blessed. That's my God. He does not want you down and out. Man, that should get you excited tonight. Hearing these stories, amen? We heard them from the Bible. We've seen instances from the Bible. We've heard firsthand accounts. You know, even myself, I've experienced healing in my body on several occasions. I remember one time very specifically when I was young. I was very small. Hard to believe, but I was small. I was young. And I went through about 3 or 4 months of my life to where when I would eat, I would throw up. And I was losing weight rapidly because I'd eat and I'd throw up. And I was only about, I'd say it's about Timothy's age, about 7 or 8, 8, 9, somewhere in around there. And I never knew much about healing, but I did know that when church got rocking, people went to the front and people got blessed. So we were at my uncle's church, and it was a Word of Faith church. I grew up Pentecostal, but every now and then we'd sneak over to the Word of Faith church. And this service was rocking. And so I went up to my uncle, and he was the pastor at that time. And he said, Steve, he goes, what's going on? Why are you up here? I said, well, I'm bad stomach. I keep throwing up. I can't eat. And he goes, yeah? He goes, come here. And he prayed over me. He said, now, do you believe God can heal? I said, yeah. Yeah? He said, all right. Well, you believe it, now you receive it. And so I was only young. I put my hands up, and I remember saying this. I said, Lord, I receive it. And next thing I know, I'm on the floor. I'm only 8 or 9 years old, right? But the power, and then when I come to and got up, I was like, wow. And I remember from that day forward, it was healed, gone. Stomach issue disappeared. Amen? As a little kid, it was wonderful. You know? I could eat Cheetos all I want now. It was wonderful. The Lord healed me too good, because now look. I mean, come on. But it's those stories. And I can go around this room, and there's lots of miracles in this room. Right? How many miracles do I have in this room? Raise your hand. Look, all across. Yeah, see? There we go. That's so awesome. There's people who've had heart attacks, and they've survived. But not only that, when they've gone in, they've asked, and the Lord completely healed their heart, and the doctor looked at them like, there's nothing wrong with you. Go home out of this. There's people who've had cancer, and they've got clean bills of health. Right? Diabetes have disappeared. You know? Lung conditions have gone. Arthritis pain has disappeared. Joints and stuff has been straightened out. Come on, and that's just in this church. So we keep building up our faith, and we keep hearing the word of God and keep acting. We're going to see more of these things take place. So I don't care if they call it flu season or cold season. It's always healing season.